then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do. And you call the people to him again and said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters his heart, not his heart, but his stomach and his expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they devour us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
How does that relate to John Calvin's doing this to some degree. And I'll get to that a little bit later, because Jesus addresses it a little bit later. But it seems like a fair question. Why do you wash your hands? Don't you wash your hands before you eat? At least you're supposed to, right? When you walk into the restroom and, you know, you're supposed to wash your hands, okay? How many of you, raise your hand, has ever happened to you? Normally, like, you wouldn't wash your hands after using the restroom. There's somebody else in there, you go ahead and thank you. not from the inside out. Jesus wants to change. He wants to change our hearts. The heart in the Bible is the seat of your will, your emotions, your affections. Jesus wants that to change. And as a result of your heart change, you can love God and love people. And then your behavior changes. It's not changing behavior and modify that behavior, and then everything will be okay. But don't we see that all the time in all kinds of different places? You don't just see it in organized religion like a church or synagogue or wherever. We see it all over the place. These attempts to be justified by various pursuits that have become in vogue and out of vogue throughout the decades and the centuries. Let me just name a couple. These aren't religious things, but they kind of are religious things too. Your food, ironically, your food. Listen, that would be anything. But clean local source, free range, GMO, grass-fed, thank you. There's a writer, 20th century writer named Anne O'Connor. She was born in 1925, died in 1964, she was 39, died of complications from lupus, had a difficult life. One of the greatest writers I believe in American history, and certainly one of the greatest in the 20th century. And that person who was talking about spread, I read it earlier, and I reread it this week. She wrote a short story called Revelation. And it was published the year after she died. And she grew up in the South. And she called the South Christ planted, the Christ planted, what was in the background of everything and all of culture. And yet, in that era that she grew up in, tremendous cultural and social change, plenty of racism, class stratification. She saw what was, and she's a deeply Christian woman, she saw the hypocrisy of many good church-going people in this story, Revelation, and read some of it. You can find out a lot of these and encourage you to read it, even though I'm spoiling it. This is a story about a woman named Mrs. Turpin. She's a good Christian woman. And she goes to the doctor because her husband Claude has a leg injury. And they walk into the waiting room, and the waiting room is packed, and it's too small. And immediately she starts sizing every room up. Whether she wants to talk to them or not. She sees what she calls a white trashy family woman. Her son, dirty, and they're obviously uneducated. And she sees others and kind of puts them in a class. And she sees a woman who is the only woman she really wants to talk to. And throughout the story, she's talking to her, and somebody else tries to interject, doesn't really want her in the conversation. And this is a good, respectable woman who's there with her daughter, 19-year-old daughter, who's back with a summer from Wellesley College. And she's reading this book called Human Development that her daughter is. Senator Connor's wife, this young lady, is very ugly. Quote, blue with passion, ugly and scowling. And it says, describing this as her internal behavior. Sometimes Mrs. Turpin occupied herself at night naming the classes of people. On the bottom of the heap were most important people, not the kind that she would have been, she did one, but most of them. Then next to them, not above, but next to them, were the white trash. Then above them were the homeowners. Then above the fiery sunset, it casts this glow of guilt behind. And she says to God, "What are you sending me as a platform?" She said, "Well, here's what is really most of the force of a shell that's concentrated here. How am I hogging you? How am I escaping from hell, too? Why are you changing? There's no trash around here. Go on," she said. "Call me a hog. Call me a hog again. Call me a boy hog. Fire surge, fear, sugar, urge, and who do you think you are?" And then everyone settled in the house. She saw a streak of light and turned into a vast green bridge extending on her to the earth, revealed the living fire. Upon it, a vast floor of his soul tumbling toward heaven. There were whole companies of white trash, clean for the first time in their lives. And black folks in white robes, the Italians, the priests, the lunatics, shouting, clapping, leaping like frogs, and bringing up the image of the procession to drive people whom she recognized at once as those who were in her soft color, and those that had little bit of a good way to use it right. She leaned forward to her closer. They were marching behind the others with great dignity, accountable as they had always been for the order of common sense and respectful behavior. They alone were repeating the same. Yet she could see by their shocked and altered faces, even their fortunes were being broken down. You can do all the right things, and on the inside, Jesus has the authority and power to change us. And he has the authority and power to fulfill the law. The law. What says a very important statement? Do you not see that whatever is new person from outside cannot defile him since it enters? Do not his heart or his stomach and is expelled? Let's see if they're all food. I mean, this is part of the law. I think if you read some of the Old Testament, we don't follow some of the Old Testament. We keep being arbitrary. Are we just believing some of it, not believing others? No, that's actually not the case, because Jesus came to fulfill the ceremonial law about washing and eating certain foods. All those things were in place to demonstrate to God's people that they are not